Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 8th, 2024. It is Season 18, Episode 20. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. Smack dab in the middle of game reveals to the left of us, game reveals to the right of us. Stuck in the middle with you. So yeah, it is. It's going on right now. I have no idea which event. I think it's the what was it? Something was it two? Which I think is over with now. I think with future game show. Yeah, future game show. I think is what is was currently streaming. I think that wraps it up for today. There was a lot of stuff happening today. Today was luckily okay. I have my Steam Deck here. But I only have this, and I guess I could go on the Steam webpage, but I only have this because this thing gives me a nice schedule. Well, it doesn't on the deck. It tells me what's on, or it tells me all the different things that are going on, but it doesn't tell me what this one is. Future Game Show was today. Wholesome Direct was today. The Future of Play Direct was also today. The Latin American Game Showcase was today. And the Women-Led Games, which is Women-Led Game Studios, Women-Led Developers, that sort of thing. That was also today as well. Those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, those five shows I haven't seen anything of yet because those were today, and I will be watching those tonight after the show and I get everything edited and stuff. I'll go back and I'll look at those and take a look. Last night, it was just a marathon of all the stuff that was going on, and I didn't get all of it. I forgot about the Guerrilla Collective, which is another showcase that is shown off. That happened early yesterday. Then you had the Summer Game Fest that happened yesterday afternoon. Then you had the Day of the Devs, which is more indie focused. A lot of Double Fine. Tim Schafer is behind that. Day of the Devs thing, and so is IM8Bit, which is another like storefront. Indie stuff, basically, is what that was. And then it was the Devolver showcase after that. So that was a good 4 hours of content. And I'll go through and I'll watch all these other shows again this evening, but I'll skip some. I skipped some stuff last night. I was like, this isn't my genre. You know, this is not my thing. This ain't my genre. I'm not going to even, and when we get to those, when I'm going over some of these, I'll be like, yeah, that's when I skipped. Because I'm not going, the Persona games, I don't play those. And I know.
Not your wheelhouse, yeah.
I know it doesn't matter that I don't, because I'm on a show of people who play anything and everything. But I can't have a conversation with you at all about it. I'm glad it's there for you, but I have no input, good or bad, towards it. And that's the other thing. Just because I'm not interested in it doesn't mean that I have some sort of weird anger that it exists. Why does something exist that is not for me? Because, you know, we all got different ways that we play our games and enjoy our games. And I realize the ones that work for me are going to be the ones that are going to draw my interest. and the others are just really not going to do anything for me. No matter how much I look at them, I'm not going to be able to, because I will never play them. Mm-hmm. I give them a chance, by the way, but if I know that it's a sequel or if I know that it's a spiritual successor to a certain type of game, mm-hmm. I'm just like, yeah, it's probably not for me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I will give anything a chance, and I've watched plenty of trailers of games that I have absolute no interest in. I've watched plenty of trailers where I look at them and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to like this, but I'll watch it and see if there's any sort of pull.
Yeah.
And most of the time, there isn't. Sometimes if I'm like, I might give Monster Hunter was one mm-hmm. that normally is not a game for me, but I gave Monster Hunter World a try.
Same.
And put some good effort into it. And then I was like, yeah, done.
Yeah.
It's not going to hold.
Yeah. It didn't work for me because, I think I've said before, I played the game solo.
I did too.
For a good long while. And the only fun, at least from what I saw, that was really to be had in that game was when you're playing with a bunch of others. Mm-hmm. That's when the game really started to shine. But if you go on solo, I mean, it's kind of lackluster and repetitive. To me, that's how it felt to me. But I gave it a legitimate shot.
Yeah.
Just didn't hold me in for long enough.
Same thing for me with Monster Hunter World. It started with the character creation. I was like, hey, this is nice, really nice character creator sort of thing. You could customize how you look and that sort of thing. I understood the gameplay loop. I knew how that worked. Mm-hmm. That part didn't necessarily bother me, but it felt like it became more repetitive in order to do that. I did do some of the story, but it just did not stick. The further advanced I get, the more I'd go out and look for more animals, whatever, the monsters and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And it, oddly enough, coming from me, a guy that played Destiny for, 9 years or so, coming from me to say that, oh, man, it just felt too repetitive. And that's like...
It could be repetitive if it's fun.
I suppose it can be, yeah.
If it's like that.
But even if it's fun, does the repeatedness of it, the repetitiveness of it, does that ever wear thin, even when it is fun?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
It won't happen anytime soon. I'll put it that way.
You said,
you played it 9 years.
Yeah, I was gonna. Good point. Because so, I'm currently playing Mad Max, mm-hmm. a game that I stopped playing in 2015 for some. I don't know the reason.
Yeah.
But I stopped playing it in 2015, and I've gone back and played it, and it's an open world. Gives you a map with all these different things, and the more you do of them, the more you bring down the threat level of the area that you're in. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to get that down to zero. Other goals are to the different bases that you unlock. You keep improving those, and they get better and better and better until you max those out. And there's a couple of those scattered around the wasteland. Mm-hmm. And I'm very methodical with the way I do it. I open up one, and I make sure and I do that one. And I get that area and I get that base completely decked out as much as I can, unless a story mission is involved. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it's not, but there's a couple of things that may be story driven. But I do all of that before I move on to the next thing. I try to anyway. Sometimes I'll get involved in something and I'll trigger something else just because I drove into a certain section of the map.
Right.
Which is fine. No problem. But it's fun. I am not bored at all playing that game mm-hmm. for a while. mm-hmm. But it's hard to... Sometimes it's hard to keep doing the same things over and over and over and over, even if they're fun. And it's a great point because I am having fun with Mad Max, but mm-hmm. I do have a stopping point. Yeah. Where it's like, all right, tomorrow we'll come back and we'll attack, we'll hit these other points that I want to do.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm good. Let's move away from this.
I could bring up another one, like when you play Burnout.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing.
Knowing the course.
True.
You don't learn the course unless you do it repetitively until you get it all in your memory.
Yeah, I love that aspect, by the way. Same thing I could say about Mad Max. Same thing we could say about a lot of games. Mm-hmm. Destiny is another one. Where you get it, you get the, you open up this new world, and it's a massive area. Mm-hmm. And eventually, though, this memory kicks in where it's like, I know where I'm at, even though this land is massive. Mm-hmm. But you've played it enough to know, like, oh, I'm here. I know I need to go left if I'm going to be going to this area, right to go to this area, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You do enough of it, you kind of learn the ins and outs of it. Like, mm-hmm. Destiny, I could play with my eyes closed on most of it, mm-hmm. Because you know the area, that sort of thing. But even Destiny, That's another thing, me saying that these games don't hit anything for me is because for the longest time, Destiny was my priority. And so I would look at games and say, man, that looks fun, but I'll be doing my Destiny thing. I'll get to that later. Mm-hmm. You know, put it off. Never really gave it a shot. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if things will kind of open up now. This is my first sort of E3 type thing without a Destiny thing looming over my head.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's looming right now because the Final Shape released on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the raid last night, 19 hours for the world's first. Took them 19 hours to beat that raid.
Goodness.
Which is not to say that that's how long it's going to take everyone. It's just that they figured it out at that point.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they had to go through it blind, so they had to learn. They had to figure out what the
learn on the fly. Yeah.
They had to figure out what how to do each encounter and how this was going to work. Took them 19 hours to finish it. It then unlocked, I don't know if I've got it in my news here, but I know I saved it. It then unlocked a 12-man mission that I guess is the final mission of the game or something.
Has to be 12?
It'll matchmake others in there, but yeah, it's a 12-man mission.
Okay.
Which is kind of nuts when you think about it.
No hope for trying that, doing that solo.
Can't
ever do a raid solo, can you?
It's not a raid.
Oh, it's not?
No. This is not a raid. There is a raid, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can match. Now they have LFG in the game, which I wasn't around whenever they instituted that.
Mm-hmm.
But they have an LFG in the game now. I don't know how great it is or how it works.
Yeah.
But they have that now for raids and things like that. So the raid, once the raid was finished, it then unlocked this mission that is a 12-man mission for people to run. I don't know how it plays. I don't know how it works. I don't know what it does. I don't know if it's a horde mode type thing for 12 of you to go in. I don't know at all what it is.
Yeah, it's on YouTube somewhere. Yeah,
it absolutely is.
So.
And probably, I believe it does have matchmaking. So, I mean, even if you get like six of your friends, it's going to matchmake you with six other people to run through it, I suppose. There's probably I remember in some things that Destiny did, you could go into it to where it would matchmake to fill the rest of your party.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could go into it like, I got five people. We're going to go run this. Leave me alone. You know, and you could go into your little private area.
Friends only.
So
type thing.
Yeah. You're just like, don't add anymore. We got what we want. Don't add anymore with us. So I don't necessarily know that there's a minimum to that mission, but I know the maximum is 12.
Yeah.
So.
I guess with so many people playing, it's going to automatically find six other people to get with you.
Yeah, we don't have, I don't ever, there's been times that our clan had enough people to run two raids at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, six of you go off and run that raid, six of you go off and run that raid as well, and you guys go do your own thing. We've had 12 before.
Mm-hmm.
We likely probably could get 12 again, given this is the final shape, this is the end of the game, the end of the 10-year run, the Light and Dark Saga, whatever this stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
Probably have enough people that we probably could pull together a 12-man team to run it, but that, the chances of that reduce by the day, you know? The further this game gets out of the zeitgeist, the further this game goes further into other game releases, the less you start having people being available to do anything or the desire to want to do it. In that regard, playing with friends, you can still find people on you know, the LFG thing where you can matchmake, pick a group, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My point being, though, is that I remember watching trailers thinking, hey, that looks like a good game. I'll put that down on my notes and maybe take a look at it later. And then I either wouldn't do it or I would and just think, I'm busy with Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to do that. So
I think another part of it was when you were talking about how important it is to have gameplay in your reveals.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just show me
a trailer, yeah,
what's the point? If I don't see the gameplay to see if I could really get into this.
I can't wait to go over some of these because I remember watching Summer Games Fest, I think. Yeah, I think it was. And I remember getting into some trailers and I'm like, is this the anime portion of the show? Because some of the trailers just had really stylistic anime values to it. And then they would show me the actual gameplay of the game. And I was like, oh, your anime trailer was way more exciting than what you're showing me. I looked at one. I want to say it was, oh God, I don't want to call it the wrong name. I'll have to go look. I thought it was called Battle Aces. That was a frantic, hectic, God knows how much money they put into a trailer for that thing. And then I saw the gameplay and I thought, I want your trailer. Like, I want that series. There was a lot of those games that were showing off these animated trailers, whether they be CG or traditional style animation, 2D mm-hmm. animation, where I'm like, just, okay, make a game based on this,
yeah.
but give me more of this. I would absolutely watch anime of Battle Aces, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. I will have to get to it when we get to it. And we do have a lot to jump into today with everything. I want to go over what we've been playing, though, and I'll kick it off to RJ on that one. What you been digging into?
Well, standard fare, really. I played a little bit of GTA Online. There's going to be some more additions added to that, and I was getting prepped for that as well. Some more time with MLB The Show, mm-hmm. 23.
Okay.
Still playing a franchise mode, seeing if I can improve my batting. Still trash at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something you got to work on. Like with any skill, you got to practice it till you can get good at it. But for the most part, again, I've still been playing The Division 2. I've got hold of the DLC, The Warlords of New York,
mm-hmm.
but I'm still trying to get some equipment to the main storyline before I head over to New York and get something better.
Yeah.
So, and also I've got some friends that I've played with, and as soon as we get a chance to get together, we're going to go through that main story mode, see if I can pick up all the stuff that I was looking for. I'm still looking for that classic M1A, mm-hmm. that old Garand style rifle. I mean, of all the weapons I've picked up, and I've picked up plenty, it's still my favorite rifle, and that's what I'm going to be going with. But random generator, you know, you're going to get a whole bunch of other weapons. I think I'm going to get a whole bunch of other weapons before I get the one I'm looking for. So I just have to keep playing until I get it. So mm-hmm. I'm having fun doing it, so I don't really mind that.
Right,
much.
Yeah. Yep. I know, yeah. It's just, I don't know, it's interesting what we, how much of something we can take over and over and over again.
Yeah,
repetitive. In gaming type situations, and we'll just keep doing it.
Oh, I got another example. Pac-Man Championship.
Yeah.
Remember how often we were playing that?
Chasing that score, though.
Chasing that scoreboard.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. As for me, I've just been playing Mad Max. I did play, what else did I get my hands on? Last Sunday, I fired up the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
What was I firing it up for? I was going to play, I played something. I played two games. I downloaded two games, and I played them on my Xbox. It was on Game Pass. And boy, I'm trying to remember the first one I played, but I can only remember the second one that I played.
Was it a puzzle game? Strategy?
The first one, I don't remember. I'd have to go look. In fact, maybe I can look at my Xbox. Maybe I can look at this and see what I've played.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get a look at that. I remember the second thing that I played, though, and the one that stuck with me is a little indie game called Haunty. Hmm. Haunti.
Mm-hmm.
You play a ghost that can possess objects. It's done in a...
That sounds like an old Genesis game back in the day.
It very much reminds me of Ghost Trick. Is it Ghost Trick? Ghost Detective, whatever that was.
No, let me
anyway.
See. I'm looking it up right now. I thought I want to say it was some, the character was called Poltergeist or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, neat. That you're remembering this.
Haunting.
What is it called?
It's just called Haunting.
Oh.
A video game from 93 from Electronic Arts.
Hmm.
Yeah, Haunting, starring Poltergeist. Comedy horror video game released for the Mega Drive Genesis by EA in 93.
Starring Poltergeist. That's yeah. great.
Yeah, the player must bring various household items to life in order to frighten a family away from their home.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I was, you said possessing objects. So I'm like thinking, yeah, that sounds familiar. I've seen that before.
Ah, okay. Now I remember what it was because I went back and I looked. It was called Humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say the developer of Humanity is the same guy that did Katamari, I think.
Katamari Damacy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that, though. I don't remember. Humanity was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity, you play as a this. Understand when I say that it was developed by who I think also developed Katamari. And what was the other one where the dog would stretch and everybody did all their stuff and we got to stretch the dog to the moon? I can't remember. It was all collaborative effort and it was on PlayStation.
Hmm.
God, I can't remember the name of it. God, it's going way back. It's going way back. Anyway, it's very abstract. It's puzzle solving. You have a wave of people that keep coming out of this door, just massive amounts of people. They're not running. They're walking at a whatever pace, kind of brisk.
Mm-hmm.
And then with this dog who acts basically as your cursor, you put points on the map where you want them to turn, and you're guiding them to the exit. Mm-hmm. But they keep moving the entire time. And if you don't put anything there, they just keep going straight. They fall off, that sort of thing. And your whole job is to guide them to the exit.
Sounds like Lemmings.
Very much so, but with people.
Yeah.
So that I played a little of. And then I played, Fogs, Phogs, I think is what... KNDY55 said.
Mm-hmm.
And then Haunty was the other game that I played. Haunty was great. I loved Haunty. The artwork is wonderful. The music was great. The gameplay felt pretty good. You possess things so that you can solve puzzles. If a tree's in your way in front of you, you can possess that and move the tree. You can possess freestanding trees and shake them, and stars, little collectible things that you have to pick up, will fall out of it and collect those. And it was just a lot of fun. Very cozy, very warm, very nice. I really, really enjoyed that.
Hmm.
And I'll be going back to it here and there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I really, really enjoyed Haunty. And of course, I've been playing Mad Max. I have, I don't know what my completion percentage currently is. It doesn't give me any kind of thing like that. But as far as the map is concerned, I have two more places on the map that are untouched so far. But the rest of that map, and it's a massive map, the rest of the map is completely clear. I am ready to move into these other two parts and probably get the story going to where I can just go in and finish it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much is left. I feel like probably a lot, because I really feel like they don't intend you to do that sort of thing, to clear all of this stuff out before moving on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way I did it. It's just how it works for me. Photo mode in that game. If you have Mad Max, if you bought Mad Max back in 2015, it is worth firing it back up and playing it again. If you got it on like PC or something,
mm-hmm.
You can turn all those knobs all the way to the top with it. It is just a beautiful looking game. It's got some great, the photo mode is amazing in it, especially when you've got explosions going on
mm-hmm.
or a car chase happening, any of that sort of stuff. It's really, really good. It's really, really, it's so much better than it ever should have been. But then again, it's coming from Avalanche and they're mm-hmm. pretty good with what they do.
Not one of them sleeper hits.
Yeah. It was really, really good. I don't know. I can't remember how it was received back in 2015. I really don't remember.
Hmm.
Because, God, it's been forever, man.
Yeah. So, hey, just...
And I don't even know if I bought it when it came out. I don't know if that was a sale buy that I made, or I really don't know how long ago that game's been around.
Hmm.
I think it came out when Fury Road may have happened, or it may have been close to Fury Road. I don't remember.
Sure. But I would say we just encourage folks to go check your backlog if you got one. You might find a little, little gem in there that you never realized that you had.
Obviously, with Furiosa out there, I just sort of had the desire to just... And the stuff that was being said about the old Mad Max game, I thought, well, let me fire that up again. I've got that. Let's check out and see what it is to do. Man. Okay, AC Wright says, critics thought it was meh, but players enjoyed it. Yeah.
Mad Max received mixed or average reviews from critics, according to review aggregator Metacritic.
Yeah. But I've enjoyed it. I really have enjoyed going back through it. And I say going back through it, I'm actually finishing what I started.
So, you said about a whole bunch of games, really.
I would say that a lot about my games, where it's like, oh, I'm just going to finish what I started.
It's like the thing I have about movie critics, like when they said Siskel and Ebert were the top-tier movie critics, and I always thought to myself, how is it the two people can accurately represent the tastes of every movie Everybody. Going in America? You can't do that. So. Nah. If you like it, have at it. If you don't, stay home.
Agreed. All right, we're going to jump into what is... I don't know. It's not E3 because that's gone, but we're going to jump into all of these new games and everything coming up for the next hour and a half, which we have a lot. Have you watched any of these? Have you looked at
just
any of these?
Just looking at news reports from the things that were little blurbs and things like that.
Gotcha. Because you got some fighters added to Street Fighter VI.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that they added there. Mm-hmm. Also, you got some fighting games announced, I think, right?
I know I saw the stuff about added fighters to Street Fighter, but...
Yeah, but I swear I thought I saw another fighting game in there. I'll have to look. Yeah, I'll have to look. Anyway, we'll be back here in just a moment. We've got music now from... this is our retro week, so we're going back a ways here. This goes back to the NES days. It's a game I actually owned, Uncanny X-Men. On the NES, this is the menu theme, which does not at all represent X-Men. Maybe it did back then, but given everything we've had since then, it's an interesting thought. See, at that time, you didn't have the cartoon that was on Saturday mornings on Fox or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was not yet established whenever this game came out.
Oh, so you could be free to do whatever you wanted then.
Right. So it's not based on anything like that. It's strictly based on the comic book. In fact, I want to say Uncanny X-Men was a good old JLN. Publisher of Jaws. Publisher of...
Back to the Future.
Was it Back to the Future? Yeah.
Yeah.
Publisher of... What was another one that they did? Knight Rider, publisher. However, they had some, I think it was JLN, and I could be wrong, that did, no, that was Ultra. I think that was Ultra did TNC Surf.
JLN or LJN?
LJN.
Yeah.
Did I say JLN?
Yeah.
I meant LJN. JLN, like Jet Lab.
Justice League.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, yeah.
LJN.
LJN.
Yeah, that one.
LJN.
What is LJN?
Yeah, they're popular for taking popular franchises and making games that have nothing to do with the story. They're based on.
They were based in New York City. It was founded by Jack Friedman. The company was acquired by sold to Acclaim and dissolved in 1994. Okay. Jack Friedman founded LJN in 1970 using funds from his employer, Norman J. Lewis Associates, from which the company name LJN is derived, being a reversal of Lewis's initials, Norman J. Lewis Associates. Mm-hmm. They took Norman J. Lewis, reversed the initials, and got LJN. Mm. You know what? Why don't they give me give me games. Give me a list of games. I don't have a list of games.
Town and Country Surf Designs.
TNC Surf Design. That was them. I thought it was Ultra.
The Karate Kid.
Yeah. God. I'm remembering so many of these things.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yep.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Event. Excellent Video Game. Okay. The Incredible Crash Dummies.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
They were licensed king, man.
Yeah. Alien 3.
I mean, the Crash Test Dummies, that was a commercial, for God's sakes. And they grabbed the license of that.
I wanted to say that. Didn't they have a show?
I have no idea.
Their popularity got high enough to
merit a video game, but then again, at the same time, it's LJN. So, yeah. Here's the theme to Uncanny X-Men. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. It's like a bluesy thing. Because, man, when I think X-Men, I gotta sing the blues.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like we can't come up with a theme, so do we have any leftover music tracks?
Probably so.
Yeah.
Welcome back into In-Game Chat. You got music there from Run Saber. I'm not familiar with what system that's off of or how old that is, but it's called Tong City, the name of the track. I wonder if that has anything to do with Beats. No, Beat Saber's not. No. Never mind.
93?
Could be. This is our old retro music weekend.
Looks like a bootleg of Strider.
You know, I think a lot of games back then, not necessarily were bootlegs, but was just like, take that, change the color, tweak a little bit of the pixels there, and then send it back out.
Yeah.
And you've got a completely different game.
Yeah, Wonder Boy and Adventure Island comes to mind immediately in that respect.
Yep.
Yes, it was basically a... Tom with the Hudson hat on the dude's head. That
You're exactly right. You're right. All right. So the Summer Game Fest kicked off, and they started with Lego Horizon Adventures, which I think had been sort of leaked a little bit, but we hadn't seen anything of it. But it's a Lego game set in the Horizon franchise with co-op. So it's like, all right, there you go. It was enough that they already had a Lego set that involved Horizon. I think one of those dinosaur flat top, I think is what it's called, you could build, which is on my list to pick up eventually. But there was that one. No More Room in Hell 2 was shown off as a world premiere there. That is one of those where I think it's 6 or 8 people. Start on a map, and you're all in different locations of the map by yourself, and then you work to meet up with everyone, and then everybody gets together, and they fend off against zombies and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, very much kind of a Left 4 Dead, but a little bit different.
Start differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harry Potter Quidditch Champions launches on September 3rd for PC and PS5 and Xbox Series X. It's just Quidditch. This doesn't have a developer on it, or at least not that I'm seeing that it has a developer on it. So, I don't know who the developer was, but at parts of that looked like it was a mobile game.
That's a trend lately, isn't it?
And I mean, it could have been, I don't even know if we were seeing gameplay. This could have just been a trailer for it. So I'm not sure we even saw gameplay for this, to be honest with you. I'd have to go back and look.
Are we seeing that a lot?
Feels like we're going to get to it.
Feels like mobile games.
Oh, mobile games? Like mobile games. I thought you meant I thought you meant trailers that don't show gameplay.
No. They're like they're going towards the mobile route, like a whole lot of aspects of mobile gaming going into the console and Steam type of games now.
Yeah, kind of in a sense, depending on what it is, and there may be some mobile aspects to this game. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do not know.
Because you said a long time ago how fast the mobile gaming market is growing. So
it's, you know, it's a, it's, there's a bunch of money in mobile.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of ways to get money for mobile by, the thing is, it's a gold mine, but it's a horrible gold mine. It's like diamond mines in Africa, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, there's a lot of money there. It doesn't feel ethical in some ways that they do it in the mobile business, where they time gate things or they push you more to buy. They limit what you're available to do with unless you spend the money to do it.
Yeah.
And I get that's a tactic. That's perfectly a thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. So, yeah.
So we leave it alone. But some folks don't.
Yeah, I mean, they're more than welcome to. I just feel like more and more companies will, again, it goes back to the Suicide Squad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we see that everybody's doing looter shooters. Everybody's doing these games as a service. Make us a games as a service. There's money to be made there. As he throws his pen around. There's money to be made there, and here's how we can do it. Hey, the mobile gaming space is a way we can cheaply make something, put it out in mobile, time gate things or add prices to things, and, you know, we can pull on our whales.
Yeah.
I don't like that practice, but it's going to continue.
Yeah.
Until the government gets involved, I guess. But I don't see, it doesn't feel like it's any kind of predatory action, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It sucks, but I don't think it's going to change.
No.
Next one we saw was a game called Cuff Bust. It is cooperative prison break action as a koala or koala-like creatures. Comes out in 2025. It did not look interesting to me at all. We got Star Wars Outlaws. We got some more gameplay of that, but we'll get the real gameplay reveal coming up on Monday from Ubisoft Forward.
Mm-hmm.
For Star Wars Outlaws. I didn't have a lot of good things to say about Star Wars Outlaws when I first saw it revealed not too long ago by Ubisoft. It was not pulling me in what they showed. The nice little sizzle reel that they had last night for the Summer Games Fest pulled me back in.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see with the gameplay coming up on Monday if that's going to hold my interest or not.
Right.
The team behind Grease, which I have recently played on thanks to Xbox Game Pass.
It's an art game, right?
It's an art game, yes.
Yeah, it's very
basically.
Artistic, yeah.
It was a beautiful, beautiful game. And now they're back to do a new game called, it's either called Neva or Neva. It's N-E-V-A. And there was a trailer for it, and it shows gameplay, and it looks beautiful, and there's combat, which Grease did not have combat.
Mm.
But there's combat in here, and I'm kind of curious as to how that's going to work. I liked the fact that there was no combat in the first game. I liked the fact that I was solving puzzles and figuring things out. That I enjoyed. The combat looks really stylistic from what I've seen in the trailer. I'm curious as to how that combat works. And hopefully whatever is there is enjoyable or it's few and far between on the combat.
Or it might be simple to the point where it's easy to get through. So it won't keep you from experiencing the scenery and keeping things flowing.
And that's my whole point is that a lot of the times, combat can take me out of a game.
Yeah. It can.
I would say,
Especially in your story-based gaming.
Yeah, I feel a sneeze coming on, so excuse me. Hellblade is what I'm thinking of.
Mm.
So.
Irritating, isn't it?
It's very irritating. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I got it to go away.
The ultimate tease. The sneeze that you come in and it doesn't come through in the end. Ugh.
Yeah, I think it got it. I think I got it to go away.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times when I've been playing a game for its story. And there's a particularly nasty battle to have to go through, and it's keeping you from keeping the story moving. But in past, you know, you just have to struggle through it till you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Hellblade's one where you can be in the middle of something and then combat breaks out. Mm-hmm. And it can kind of take you out of it a little bit. I know they got to include combat sometimes, but honestly, the combat maybe in the first one meant something because you were fighting against Norse gods and things like that, you know, different sort of entities.
I call it fighting delusions.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the sequel, a lot of the times I was not, all the combat did was kind of interrupt the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. It was kind of a break. In some parts, it was okay to kind of have a break here where I can do some combat. For the most part, though, no.
Mm.
No. It didn't even need it. And if I could get it over with quick and get it done with to move on to the next part, sure, fine.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. What else do we get? Civilization 7. Talked about how they've been doing this for 30 years, and I thought, wow, you've been doing this for 30 years, and you've only gotten to 7 of them. Which, for most things, to do something for 30 years and only make 7 of them would say, yeah, it's low. It depends on the context, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
7 games in a series in 30 years is not a lot, but at the same time, you got to understand that they've made other games during that time. They've put out other things. And, mm-hmm. and I'm perfectly fine with the fact that they're only at Civilization 7 after 30 years. And tons of DLC, AC Wraith is reminding me. Civilization. And that is not necessarily detrimental to them, but for me, I never buy a Civilization game at release. There's so much DLC that gets added to the thing that picking up like a Game of the Year edition a year later or something, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You'll get it on the cheap, you'll get all the DLC, and you're ready to go. Civ 7 or Civ games have never been a, I need to be there when it releases to play it so I can talk about it. It's never been that kind of game.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it before, how there are very few games, at least nowadays, where you want to be there day one. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it is better to wait.
Right.
While you're working on your backlog, by the time you get around with that game that was hot on day one, all the DLC will be mm-hmm. released for it, and it's ready to go.
Exactly.
For a lower price.
I'm trying to think of where that helps you, where that doesn't help you. Man, I'm trying to remember. Games that involve community involvement type of thing, where you as a group of players kind of shape the world type of thing. Mm-hmm. Helldivers 2 comes to mind, where when that thing first released, mm-hmm. you could get in there and you felt like you were doing something. I have no idea where it's at right now, but I know years and years and years and years from now, the swarm of people on that game will have leveled off.
Right.
Now, I know they'll add DLC to it and that sort of thing, but there's going to be other games out there that's going to pull them.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be in it on the ground floor, sometimes it's good to be there right when it releases to kind of enjoy it with everybody else.
Right.
And then in most games, though, that doesn't matter. Spider-Man 2, I still haven't played.
I was about to say your story-based games
right.
are going to be like that. Like Horizon Zero Dawn.
There's another one.
Yeah, I bought that game when it was like $19 and it had all the DLC released with it. The mm-hmm. Legendary Hits version. It had all the stuff with it, so.
Yep.
Good price.
That's absolutely another one. Mm-hmm. We got to see Black Myth Wukong. We got a release date trailer from that. We hadn't gotten a release on this thing. Mm-hmm. But it comes out in August. August 20th is when it releases.
Yeah.
Really interested to see more of that as far as the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this stuff I would watch and be interested in, but then I would look at it and I'm like, okay, if this plays like a God of War or it plays like, as long as it doesn't play like a Dark Souls, I'm okay. I'll be in for this. But if it's Dark Souls-y or if it's Souls inspired,
I don't think it'll be that way.
I don't think it is either.
I'm just basing off of what I saw of that video. It sounds mm-hmm. like a more stylized
very much.
Type of thing.
Very much so.
Ninja Gaiden? Remember that one when it uh-huh. came out? It looked like that? More of a stylized...
Ninja Gaiden was... Are you talking about Ninja Gaiden Black or Ninja Gaiden...
Oh, it's probably a bad example, but...
Yeah, because that thing was tough.
Yeah, well...
It was hard.
part of its charm, actually, yeah. Just some style, just a stylized kung fu style of play. Nothing like as methodical and difficult as a Dark Souls genre would be.
Trying to remember here what we had. Once Human, which was from Starry Studio. Post-apocalyptic fantasy world features a wide variety of environments and enemies of all kind. It arrives on July 9th. It was interesting to see some of the dates on these games being a lot sooner than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Metaphor Re-Fantasio. A game that I skipped in here because it's from the talent that brought you Persona 3, 4, and 5. Metaphor.
Oh, the name fits. Then.
Yeah, Metaphor promises 40 different heroic combat archetypes to harness against your foes and an upgradable job system that lets you amass more power over the course of the game. It arrives October the 11th and just is not in my wheelhouse whatsoever. Mm. Batman Arkham Shadow, which is the VR Arkhamverse game for MetaQuest 3. We were watching the trailer and about halfway through it, not even halfway, I was like, oh man, it's so nice to see all the Arkham assets again and everything. And then I realized, oh wait, this is not even gameplay. What is this? They're not showing any gameplay. And they did not show any gameplay. I think a gameplay trailer is coming next week, maybe, for this. Yeah. It comes out this fall. But that was not a game. There was no gameplay in that. At all. Street Fighter VI getting some new characters. I say new. They're old.
just remade for modern times.
M. Bison coming out. Also, Terry Bogard from Fatal Fury. And is it Mai?
Mai Shiranui.
Shiranui.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that from Fatal Fury? Is she from Fatal Fury as well?
Yep.
Or okay.
Fatal Fury 2.
Yeah, well, they're going to be in Street Fighter VI.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up later this year. Tears of Metal. That's one I added to my Steam. There's a lot of things I went through and added to my Steam wish list. Tears of Metal is another one that I added. Polygonal Highland Combat in a rain-drenched dark woods of Scotland. Looks kind of roguelike cooperative action, so I was kind of interested in that. And to see more of it. Dragon Ball Sparkling Zero. Skipped it. it's not
anime fighter.
It's an anime fighter. It ain't me. Delta Force Hawk Ops.
Sounds like a Call of Duty clone.
Well, you wouldn't be wrong in regards to that. The problem with it is, actually, there is no problem with it. The more I watched this thing, I was like, okay, what is this? And they started showing some... The trailer was nice, but when they got into the gameplay aspect and some of the UI started popping up, I was like, man, that... It has no relation to Ubisoft, but I was getting Splinter Cell vibes all over. Now, it was not stealth action, but the UI design, the... I don't know. There were aspects of it that was like, that looks like, and really what it made me think of was Third Echelon, which is the group that Sam Fisher works for as Splinter Cell or whatever. It looked like it was something like that. Co-op Third Echelon stuff set in that universe. Only for the fact that some of the UI looked very, very Tom Clancy Ubisoft-esque. And so I was getting vibes. Not, oddly enough, not of Rainbow Six, basically because Rainbow Six is off doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was getting Splinter Cell vibes from it. I really was. There is absolutely no relation to it. I looked up the developer, I think, that same night, and I was just like, yeah, this has no relation.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks very much like it. And if, you know, and I thought, if it is Ubisoft, maybe this is a shadow drop or something like a, hey, by the way, that thing that we saw, it's also in the universe of Splinter Cell.
So basically, but where's my Splinter Cell?
That is always my question.
Yeah.
It's another E3, technically. And so my question is, where is Splinter Cell? We're not getting it. Although Ubisoft forwards on Monday, we might get something. We'll see. Anyway, this was a co-op shooter. It looked really, really good. I was kind of interested in it. It also has a single-player campaign that you can play as well. Oddly enough, it is based on the Ridley Scott film Black Hawk Down.
Okay.
Like, absolutely based on it. Felt like they used word for word the script in some of the key moments of the film that are represented in the single-player mission. Hmm. But I'm not sure. Fatal Fury, City of Wolves. We just talked about that. We got a world premiere trailer from that. You said we knew it was coming.
I mean, yeah.
I did not.
Yeah. No news about it came out a while back. So, yeah, seeing it shown at the Summer Games Fest was nice. But, yeah, I already saw it coming.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
It looks good to me. I mean, I played Mark of the Wolves back in the day. It was a really good one of them sleeper hits like we were talking about before. But it was a really good game, and I'm looking forward to seeing this one when it comes out.
Yeah, it's coming out in early 2025. Mm-hmm. Battle Crush. I don't know. It was a fighter. Character-based combat, isometric character-based combat. Battle Crush showed off its cartoonish styles and elaborate fighting moves. That's it. I don't know much about it. Mecha Break. Big robots fighting each other. Mecha Break showed off a wide variety of different ways to kit out your mech and fight as well. So it was the mech design concept trailer that was released. We are about to have to go to break here, and then we come back, we'll go into the other games. In fact, Blumhouse Games showed up, which I didn't even know they were getting into the games business.
Hmm.
From their horror movie business.
I was about to say Blumhouse, as in Megan and...
They're going to get into making video games.
Hmm.
In about the same vein that they make their films. So, yeah, we'll get into some of those. They were there to talk about that. It's a lot of games under their umbrella, but we'll get into that here in just a bit. Got music here from... Oh, yeah, it's Looney Tunes. It was on the Game Boy Color. Marvin Strikes Back, Marvin the Martian.
Marvin the Martian,
yeah. Marvin Strikes Back. It's the title music for that from the Game Boy Color. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat, playing what sounds like some kind of 80s montage music thing that you'd see in a movie or a TV series or something. But it actually comes from Miss Pac-Man. Maze Madness is the name of the game. The track for this one is called Cleopatra. And I imagine every single level had Pac somewhere in the title. Mm-hmm. Had to have, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just has to. Anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. Going back to the E3, not E3, whatever, the thing that's going on all weekend. Because, you know, you had all that yesterday, you had the stuff today, which I won't get to watch until later tonight, and then you've got Microsoft tomorrow, and the PC gaming show is after that in the afternoon, I believe. Microsoft starts at noon, and I think the PC gaming show starts at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Hmm.
And so you got that. And then, of course, Monday is Ubisoft. Also Monday, I think the Steam Next Fest kicks off. which probably didn't have any videos for that, but you're going to have tons of demos, brand new games and stuff like that. They're going to be available on Steam for about a week for you to enjoy, add to your wish list, that sort of thing. Blumhouse Games kicked in and had a sizzle reel that showed off a bunch of different games that were going to be coming out under their publishing now. They're going to be publishing games and putting money towards people making games. Fear the Spotlight was the first game that is expected to launch later this year. I can't really tell you too much about it because I don't know too much about it. But it's already available on Steam for you to wish list, that sort of thing. It's called Fear the Spotlight. I believe we got to see more of that in the Day of the Devs stream that followed the Summer Games Fest. New Power Rangers game, Power Rangers Rita's Rewind. It was a very retro Power Rangers type of game. It is, you can wish list it on Steam right now, 4-player co-op. Basically, it looked like, you know, the old Konami Ninja Turtles, not Konami, but the old arcade Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. That was Konami, wasn't it?
That was Konami.
Yeah, it was Konami. The old arcade Ninja Turtles, but under the Power Rangers banner. I remember watching it. I have no association with Power Rangers other than, like, Next Generation Voltron. I have no attachment to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It came at a time where I was not into watching that. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't there for it. Mm-hmm. It was huge. I get how huge it was.
Yeah. You know it existed, but you just weren't.
It wasn't my thing. So watching this, I was like, man, I don't have any desire to play it, but I want to play it. I just wish it wasn't under that IP. Like, if you would just put that under almost any other IP, I'd be okay with it. If you made it original, I'd be okay with it.
Well, heck, look, you can go get the Turtles one that came out that...
Yeah.
You can go play that.
But this looked really, really good.
Yeah.
I liked the way that they varied in their styles, because it wasn't just a side-scroller.
Mm-hmm.
There were other aspects to it that I was kind of like, oh, wow, this is... I completely wrote it off when I saw it, because I was like, oh, all right, it's... They're, okay. It's your 90s retro arcade beat 'em up, but with Power Rangers clothing, you know? But it just, I was like, I want to play it as long as it was a different IP, which it shouldn't matter, but I just, it's not my thing. I was never into the Power Rangers. Ooh, the next game we saw, it's called Deer and Boy. We talked earlier in the show about, like, I can look at games and be like, I'll skip that. And then there are games I can look at and say, okay, they're talking to me. This is one that's talking to me. Deer and Boy is talking to me. It looks very, I wish I knew. This was hard not to get a little emotional while watching. I'm reading the write-up for this on Kotaku. It says, with an adorable deer companion in spooky environments, Deer and Boy looks like it'll make me cry at least once, I'm sure. Yeah, it had some aspects of, like, it's going to pull at some heartstrings type of thing, you know? It's going to get emotional. But yeah, that's what I figured. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, we got a trailer for that as well. I believe that's coming out later this year. It might be coming out next year. I don't know. Oh, man. The next one was Slitterhead. Are you following along as I'm going through these?
Yeah, I'm following along.
Slitterhead. Are you watching some of the trailers as I go through them, too?
Yeah, I
do. Yeah, okay. Man, I don't know what Slitterhead is. It says it's a gory and spooky vision of a city filled with demonic entities and melee combat alongside gunplay. Weird stuff, but it got even weirder, and I don't think we got into that point, but I want to say it was in one of the other showcases or later on in the show, something called Zookosis, where you're a zookeeper at night, and the animals aren't everything they appear to be type of thing.
Yeah, the animals ain't kosher in
that. No, they're not. Killer Bean came right after Slitterhead. Slitterhead was like some weird...
Slitterhead is your Japanese horror
Yeah, man. Yeah. And then
you're gonna have the gore, but you're gonna have some psychological skullduggery going on in there with it. So yeah.
And then they jumped into Killer Bean, which you play as a bean that does not look. Top of that bean's head does not look like a bean.
No.
There's a part where he's riding a motorcycle, so you have the view from behind. And it just looks like things that I'm not going to try and explain. But
this is FCC radio, folks.
All right. But it looks like that riding a motorcycle.
Yeah. Looks like Negan.
No, I wasn't getting anything from Negan.
No, the red thing around the neck and riding on a bike, that's what it looks like to me.
Oh,
that's based on the YouTube clip that they got down here.
Yeah, see, it looks anyway, it says in what looks like GTA meets Max Payne and so much more, Killer Bean lets you take on the role of Killer Bean, an elite killer out for some revenge with a remarkably absurd looking characters. All kinds of stylistic shooting and fighting and all sorts of stuff going on with this. Mm. From a game that didn't look like a game that seems to take its action and combat seriously, but everything else, no, it doesn't. I'm going to mispronounce this next game. It's called Cairn. C-A-I-R-N.
That's what I'm going with anyway.
Yeah. Promising realistic climbing challenges and some dizzying heights. This game, named Cairn, aims to deliver punishing challenges in your pursuit of reaching the summit of an impossibly tall mountain.
I keep thinking this is a fully fleshed out version of getting over it.
Getting over it, right, yeah. And honestly, that's where the real test of this game comes from. Mm-hmm. I liked the look of it. I kind of liked the setting and like what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. But if the controls are crap, it's dead.
Yeah.
It is absolutely dead if the controls are bad.
No matter how pretty it looks, if your gameplay is suspect or trash,
yeah,
not having it.
And so I'm really curious as to how that's gonna pan out for them. Wonderstop says mixing up some farming sim action with tea shop management. Wonderstop sees its protagonist trying to simply enjoy a simple life. It's highly unlikely, though, that things will remain very simple, as this game was developed by the same people that did the Stanley Parable. Mm. I don't know if you've played any of it, if you've ever played the Stanley Parable before. Mm. I was really into that one, too. Mm. Unknown 9 Awakening, that was another interesting game that I added to my Steam wishlist. Unknown 9 Awakening features an unconventional fantasy setting with a character out for revenge against a foe who has wronged her. I liked what I saw of Unknown 9 Awakening. Big AAA looking title is what that looked like. Innotria, the last song. It was just a cinematic trailer, but it looks like it has a fantasy setting and some melee action fused with magic. The First Descendant. It is a free-to-play shooter that showed off its scenic sci-fi aesthetic and some hints at speedy gameplay via cinematic trailer. And that was the thing. Everything about that was cinematic. I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. I think I may have added it to my Steam wish list, but now that I'm reading about it, like it's a free-to-play shooter, I'm not down.
Yeah.
But the trailer looked great.
I want to say I played the demo for this a while back. Had those three different types of... avatars you could use, and you were going through it like that. Not a bad game. The shooting was fine and everything like
that. So you did play a demo of that?
The demo, yeah. Played with the abilities and here there. You know, not a bad experience going through that.
Okay.
You know, so worth looking at, especially since you played Destiny a lot. It may give you a little bit of a...
Maybe, but that trailer, I really, really enjoyed the trailer. Like, I want to know more about what happens in that trailer, not what happens in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want that trailer to be fleshed out and finish telling its story.
Yeah.
Because that's what I wanted.
That's just like Battle Aces, huh?
If we get to it, if that's what it was called. The people from Among Us came on stage, and there was odd and uncomfortable banter. However, they talked about the fact that they had taken the funds that they had made from Among Us and opened up an indie studio to help fund indie developers. Mm-hmm. And so they had a bunch of different indie games that they were working on to come out. Then they announced the Among Us TV show, which is, I think, going to be on Paramount Plus, I believe. Looks like Paramount's involved with it. It's an animated show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Sonic Shadow Generations. Did you check that out?
Mm. Okay. I think the last one I really got into was Sonic Mania.
Okay.
Generations.
Sonic yeah. Generations? I really like Sonic Generations.
Yeah.
What little I played of it, I enjoyed it. This features two campaigns with Sonic and Shadow and a massive collection of levels. It arrives October of this year. Dune Awakening. Not sure when that's going to be open, but it's an open world survival MMO. I am very, very interested in that. I'm curious. Battle Aces. Is that what it was? Is that the one I was talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I say it right? I'm not sure. Battle Aces bills itself as an RTS for everyone with a more approachable take on the classic genre. As a genre, RTSs can be a little exclusive, so check this one out if you struggle to get into other titles. I say check it out. Watch the gameplay. The world premiere trailer is nothing but a frantic anime thing.
It's an anime intro.
I can only imagine the amount of money they spent for that trailer to be produced. On top of, and I mean, we had, I think it was either in last week's news or it's in this week's news, we had an article talking about how much it costs to get your game into the Summer Games Fest. And it was six figures to pay for an ad.
The high six figures?
No.
Okay.
It was around two or three. So I don't know. I mean, it's still six figures, yeah. Which is high. I mean, but it wasn't over 500, you know. It wasn't half a million. No.
No.
Less than that, but still.
I don't know. Make a YouTube channel and put it on that.
Season 3 of the finals was shown off. Okay. Hey, speaking of waiting for things to happen, because earlier in the show we were talking about waiting for games to release and get all the DLC and everything else to do this. Alan Wake 2 is getting a physical release.
Okay.
Originally it was not going to get that. It only got the digital release.
Right.
Now it's going to get a physical release, but I believe your only options for this are like deluxe edition and collector's edition, like a pricey edition if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just going to make a game in a case.
Standard edition. They're not going to do something standard. Yeah.
Physical editions of Alan Wake 2 are coming later this year. And I want to say they're being produced by Limited Run Games, LRG.
Mm.
But I think pre-orders went live this morning, by the way, if you're interested in picking those up. However, they also revealed an expansion to Alan Wake 2 called Night Springs, which is based on that television series that is in Alan Wake, which I was really, really interested in and I really, really enjoy. However, it features variations of three different characters from the Remedyverse: Rose, Tim Breaker, and Jesse Faden, and is playable tomorrow, which is today. One of those shadow drops again. Like, hey, it releases in 24 hours. So. What else do we get? New World Aeternum, I think is the name. It's Amazon's MMO New World.
Mm-hmm.
Not in it, but glad it's there for people.
Yeah.
Honkai? Is that how I'm pronouncing
Honkai.
It? Honkai Star Rail Patch 2.3. That was shown off.
Mm-hmm.
Good job that you guys have it. I'm not here. Bama Brian says, have you guys talked about Civ 6? No, but we have talked about Civ 7. Civ 7 was announced yesterday, but I have not seen any gameplay. If there was gameplay today, I haven't seen it. I feel like that may come during the PC Gamer Show tomorrow.
Possible.
Civ is a very PC type centric
mm-hmm.
title, so maybe we'll get some more from that. Dark and Darker was shown off. It's a dungeon crawler. I didn't add it to my Steam wish list. Oh, Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess. This is Capcom. This is a really pretty, just color everywhere type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very interested in it, and I still am. But Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess from Capcom showed off some gameplay in there. I believe they showed some gameplay. Hyper Light Breaker was really neat to see, but I wasn't really in it. Party Animals is getting some DLC, and again, yeah. Skate is still being worked on. That's great. Pal World with an expansion, I guess, or with some more content. Mm-hmm. Valorant was shown off. And again, this is another thing where they show me a trailer that I'm more interested in that than I am your game.
Mm-hmm.
I get that's how marketing works. But
it's designed strictly to pull you in.
Yeah.
But there's nothing there to look forward to after pulling
right.
You in.
It's like you may have pulled me into your trailer, but you're not pulling me into your game.
That's good for a movie.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, Valorant has like they have this is oh God, what is the name of the game company? God, starts with an R.
Riot?
Riot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could not figure it out. You know, they've already got there's a show on Amazon, and there's the Arcane show that's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
As well. Like, they've got some really good stuff out there to tell stories with. And so I was all in on this trailer for what they were showing. And I'm like, if you turn that into a show, I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of these things, I'm like, if you turn that into an anime, I am right there day one to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You have hooked me with that. I want to see more. So, what else do we get? Monster Hunter Wilds showed off some of that. Yeah, it looks great. But I know what it does, you know, and I'm not there. Now, yeah. I see Josh is in the chat room during dinner, and so I'm sure he is excited about Monster Hunter Wilds.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there for me. And then the final game they showed off was Phantom Blade Zero. So, yeah. Looks like it gives off some Bloodborne vibes to it.
I was thinking more of a fast-paced Sekiro.
See, that's what I'm curious about. Who's the developer on this?
S-Game.
Okay. This is one of those games where I remember thinking, I'm down for this as long as it's not Souls-like.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Souls-like, I need to see how much Souls-like it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am not opposed to playing a Souls-like. Bloodborne is the one that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played much of it, but I do have it, and it's the only Souls game I have that I actually physically bought. Everything else came free.
Bloodborne.
Yeah, Bloodborne.
By the way, quick note about Bloodborne. Future Press is doing a opening pre-orders for their hardcover
strategy guide.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're putting in the both books in one. So
there were two.
Yeah, you had the original game, and then you had the book for the old hunters. So they're compiling
the DLC.
So they're compiling them into one book, and they're about to put it on a pre-order soon.
Okay.
Not tomorrow, I believe. So Future Press's website should have that up and running pretty soon, if not tomorrow.
I'll check that during. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and go to that website here, and during the break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking at the thing about Phantom Blade, yeah, it looks like a Sekiro, but very, very much faster pace.
Because
it looks like you got a parrying system and a dodging system all in there as well.
Excuse me.
Yeah, bless you. All in there as well. But, yeah, it seems to be more intense. So, probably worth looking at.
Yeah, yeah. It like I said, it pulled me in, but it's just one of those things where it's like, I'm there, but if it's Souls-like, I'm not there.
It doesn't seem like anything slow and methodical in this one. Yeah. See, in the Souls games, you know, you can rush ahead if you want to, but then you're going to get overwhelmed and killed really quickly. But so you got to take your time with it in a lot of cases. But it doesn't seem to be the case in this one.
What was I going to say? Oh man. Oh, Shadow of Erdtree.
Yeah, that's going to be coming out.
Oh, so it's not out yet.
Not yet.
I thought it came out the same time as Final Shape released. I thought it was out on Tuesday. It's got to be soon, man.
Yeah, soon.
I've been seeing previews for the thing. You got a date?
I'm looking it up now. June 21st.
Okay. Mm-hmm. June 21st. All right. Well, that was Summer Games Fest. And when we come back, we're going to dip into Day of the Devs. We've got stuff that came out today during the Wholesome Direct. I love the Wholesome Direct only for the fact that it is, shows off some really great indie games, throw in some cozy games. I've seen some fantastic things from that and some of these other non-like massive shows, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like this Day of the Devs that showed up after Summer Games Fest. A lot of the stuff that was shown today during the Future Games of Play or whatever it's called, the Future Game Show, all of these that were shown today, you're usually going to find out of all of that a few things that are like, hey, that looks really, really cool. Mm-hmm. I want to check that out. So I'm anxious to look at these. When we go over the Wholesome Games Direct stuff, again, I haven't seen these, and there's no screenshots that I'm looking at on this article that I have, but there are titles. I don't necessarily want to go through all of them because that's a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 36 titles. Mm. I don't think I can do all of that. But I'll try and go through them and hopefully maybe hit some. I don't know. I may have to just skip that and take some notes because without looking at these, I'm just going to be reading descriptions to tell you what they are because I haven't seen any of them. But we'll see. We'll see how that all pans out. Anyway, that's all coming up. As we go to break here, we've got music from Space Megaforce. And the track is called Amazonas. Amazonas is the name of the track. I don't know where it's from. But we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Everybody, welcome back into In-Game Chat. We got music here from a game called Lost Dimension. Name of this track, I don't know, it just says mechanical section, so that's where it is. Sometimes you don't get track names, you just get level names, or you get, you know,
stage one.
Mechanical section.
Yeah.
Swamp section, you know, mm-hmm. little things like that, so. Oh, man, we are going over everything that we saw at all these different gaming things that are still going on. It's a lot. And no doubt we'll be talking more about it next week as well because we get Microsoft next tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we get Ubisoft on Monday.
Yeah.
So we'll have more to talk about coming up next week as well when we do this mm-hmm. again. And I'll likely go over, I think I'm going to skip the stuff I haven't seen today mm-hmm. to go over those. I mean, we've got less than 30 minutes to finish up here.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm just going to skip that and come back next week. What did we say? There was like 30-something games?
36.
Yeah, 36 games. I would have to do less than a minute per game each if I was going to go through all of those. Mm-hmm. So what I'll do is I'll watch the show, take some notes, and hit those notes for next week.
Yeah.
instead of trying to get through it all today. Would have been nice of me to do that yesterday. But eventually it just boils down to me complaining. It really does. Like, I'll see a trailer and I'm like, guys, if as an announcements trailer, it is great. But announcing something, unless it's in a pre-established franchise, if you are announcing a new Batman game, then your trailer can be whatever it needs to be. Just like the Batman, the difference being is that it's in, that's in VR and I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I know what I'm going to get. I've had a Batman Arkham game in VR before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. I know what I'm going to get. But when you're showing something brand new, Battle Aces is my first thought. And they did get around to gameplay, but there's a lot of other things where your trailer shows off nothing that helps me figure out what it is.
Yeah.
And I just wish more trailers included gameplay if they could. Obviously, Call of Duty, you can do whatever you want. People know what Call of Duty is. Mm-hmm. I don't need to see your gameplay. When I do see it, it's always, almost always amazing looking. Every single new COD that they have done has some technical aspects to it that are mind-blowing. I can remember two games back. I think it was two games back. They showed, was it the rain? The way the raindrops were falling off the handrail of a stairs on a ship or something. There was just some really, really good looking stuff. Then, and I want to say this was the previous COD game, there was some like canal going through a city. And people had pictures of the actual canal it was referencing and the video game canal that's in the thing. So without them telling you, or at least pointing some things out, it was very hard to tell what was real and what was the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really good. Technically, they can pull off some amazing things. Story-wise, gameplay-wise, I'm not there with them. I'm done doing the COD thing. But got some really good-looking aspects to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you don't have to show me the gameplay. Trailer. Or whatever. I know what your gameplay is going to be like. Wow me with a trailer. Go right ahead. Because, you know, I don't care. But yeah, show me some gameplay, especially in something that I've never heard of before, or if it's the first time out, show gameplay in your trailer. Now, the trailer they showed off, speaking of Battle Aces, I think, the gameplay that they showed off came after this very, like, I don't know, 3-minute anime trailer thing?
It was a two-minute anime intro, and yeah. Then I'm looking at the gameplay now, and like, yeah, this is...
Now, is that attached in one video, or did you have to go... See, there's my point.
Yeah.
Put it in the same video.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That was my whole thing. Put it in the same video. I know you can go out there and look for that, yeah. But still.
I'm getting the sense that there was a little bit of disappointment. A little bit.
I like an RTS. I'm curious about the RTS aspects of that. But after that trailer, there was nothing you could have shown me in a video game that would have matched what I just saw in your wildly just...
well-financed intro.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That probably is the intro of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Probably when you fire up the game for the first time, that's what plays. And then it's like, okay, go play our game. Well, you look nothing like what you just showed me. I want more of that. I don't necessarily need more of that as a game. I want more of it as a story, as a narrative. I'll take that. All right, let's go to the Day of the Devs. I don't have any listing of what Devolver showed off, so I can't really kind of go into that. I don't know if you've got that, or maybe it is in here. I don't know. You had something, because it showed off the Talos Principle, too. What were you looking at there?
I was looking at the Kotaku article.
Was it the same one that I had open for the thing?
Yeah.
Really?
I believe. It was the Summerfest recap. And I had that little blurb about Talos Principle, too.
Huh. Let me scroll. Let me go through a few things here. Excuse me. While I look here real quick to see if this thing does... Let's see. No, that's Phantom Blade Zero, so that's not the one I'm looking for. No, that's Wholesome Direct. Everything shown at Summer Games Fest. Maybe it was just something else. There's Day of the Devs. Man, I wish... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where it's at. Let me go to latest. See if there's anything there. Sorry that I'm doing this right now.
Is more of the same on this one.
I'm not seeing anything talking about Devolver's thing.
Not even any recaps.
Yeah, no. Yeah. By the way, I love Devolver. I love the way that they do their directs, I suppose, whatever. Mm. Basically, it's some really out there narrative thread that goes through all of these little parts where you get intros to the game. So, you know, some sort of narrative thing happens for about 3 minutes, and then they introduce a game. However, they sort of weaved in the explanation of the game into what was happening with the narrative of the story. Not in the best way most times, but it still worked. And so, you know, again, I applaud them for doing that. But the biggest thing that I took away from there, and there probably is more actually, but the one, of course, that sticks with me is the DLC for Talos Principle 2, which looked really scary. There were lasers aplenty, and I am both dreading and excited to see how all of that's going to work out, because going to be a brain twister, just going to tear it up. Anyway, Day of the Devs, that happened right after the Summer Games Fest. So here is what we saw from that. Battle Vision Network. I liked this. I'm trying to remember who it was that did the development on it. Capybara Games. Well, your name is Capybara Games. You're fine. It'll be on PC and also mobile as well, if you're a Netflix subscriber, by the way. Netflix Games, I forgot that they were a publishing house.
Yeah.
And if you subscribe to Netflix, oddly enough, if you open up Netflix on your phone, which is not something I am...
Something I'm not inclined to do.
Exactly. I'll do it at the house. I'll go to the app and I'll do that. If you do it on your phone, a mobile device, phone or iPad, there's a section of Netflix Games that you get for free just because you're a subscriber to Netflix. And so this is one of those games that is going to be in there. They have made Grindstone. And now it's a fast-paced tactics puzzler, Battle Vision Network. Looked really nice. I liked what I saw of it, and I am very interested in it. I think I added it to my wish list. I'm not sure. Simpler Times was a first-person life sim where you experience the world by interacting with objects around your house, activating memories that tap into your hopes, dreams, and regrets. Like Gone Home, but for existential meditation, coming out on PC, and it released that day, which was yesterday. That's when it came out. They showed off more of Karen. The mountain climbing game.
Yeah.
Is there a demo for that, maybe? I don't think there... I don't know. It comes out next year, so maybe there's not. Maybe for Steam Next Fest, we'll get a demo to it. Because those controls... The controls are my big mystery. My big question mark on that.
Yeah.
I'm in if your controls are there.
Yeah. How exactly do you implement rock climbing?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Some have done it okay, then I'm not sure. The way this game looked, it looked...
If it controlled like Uncharted, would you be okay with that?
Maybe. You're onto something there. Yes, I would be okay with it, but a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Because
it
I
is
would,
kind of, it is because
that's very easy mode climbing.
Yeah, because
you know?
Then again, Uncharted is has a whole bunch of stuff going on anyway.
And Uncharted has a lot of modes of method of maneuverability and moving and traversing a level. But when your game focuses specifically on mountain climbing, I would hope that it would be a little more detailed than just jump and continue moving up.
I mean, is it the equipment you have, like you said, the jump, grip strength, stamina, all types of stuff?
I mean, I don't know. None of that's shown off.
We're just speculating right now, but I'm thinking there's going to be a little bit more involved in climbing than as it would be.
Right.
In
I will a, say some Uncharted. Of the things that you saw in that trailer that was on the Day of the Devs, because you got to see more of it in that one, was that you get those, I can't remember what they're called in the mountain climbing world, but it's where you, like a pike, where you stick it into the rock, and then you put your safety rope through there. And that kind of acts as a save point of where you are. But you only have a limited amount of those to use. And if you fall back down to wherever that save point is, and then you can climb, and then you can work your way back up. One of the interesting things I saw was, I don't know if it happens at the end of your climb, but it showed the different paths that the player took and which ones failed and which ones you made it through. So it showed all these different attempts that were made to scale this section.
So it ain't linear. There's multiple ways to get to
where you want to go. So, anyway, I'm curious about it. I really am. Pedal Runner was shown off, and I was totally down for this. It says, if you've seen, I've seen things you wouldn't believe, like this incredible love letter to Pokemon on the Game Boy Color, a cyberpunk spin on the RPG catch-em-all. It's Pedal Runner. You play a motorcycle carrier in training who uses biological material from flowers to create pets. Don't worry about that. You go out to collect a thing in the game world, which when you bring back to the lab gives you a thing in the game world that you then have to deliver to people. And it's a pet, but I really liked it. Anyway, that's what it is, and it's all to be determined whenever it's going to get a release or the platform for it as well. But Pedal Runners, although it is on Steam, and so I added it to my wish list. I really, really liked it. Very retro looking, but I loved what I saw of it. What else do we have here? Karma, The Dark World is a horror exploration game split between two realities. One, or an Orwellian dystopia ruled by surveillance, bureaucracy, and spooky TV heads. The other is very David Lynchian, where players are able to discover the truth about their dual dystopias and themselves. Pollard Studio is the name of the company that's making it. PS5, Xbox, and PC, but we don't know when the release date is. Very, very horror-esque. Very, very good-looking visuals. Not sure that I'll play it, but looked really good.
Good-looking horror game.
I mean, just, you know, the visuals on it looked really, really nice. Yeah. Upsetting, yes.
Yeah, so if there's gore involved, it's going to be very well detailed.
Yeah, very much so. UFO 50. This is something I was really interested in. UFO 50 is 50 different games in one. And the way they described it was that these are all, they're not mini games, but they are all fully fleshed small games, you know, that can fit on, you know, whatever. It's 50 different games, and they range from top-down shooters to arcade racers to fighters to, you know, your Double Dragon-looking type stuff.
The Me Against the World type of fighter.
Yeah. And the way that they described it was, they said there's 50 games in here, and they're all completely made up. They're not pulling from, like, hey, here's something from the Atari generation type stuff.
It's not a compilation.
It's not a compilation. They're all originals. Yeah.
50 originals. Okay.
The interesting thing about it was is that the further you go into it, like, they didn't really have a narrative from game to game. But the further you go into the titles, the more you progress in time. If you start at the first game, you're going to play something that looks out of you know, an Atari 2600 type of thing. Mm-hmm. If you go to the last one, you're looking at like Super Nintendo type graphics. Mm-hmm. So it spans the gamut of styles and the way things look and the way things play and that sort of thing. And also some of the games that you play earlier on in the collection, you might find a sequel to that game in a later part of the section. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where, or maybe a returning character or something like that that is in another game. So it was just really interesting.
Yeah, it just sounds like the further you go, the more bits you have available in your
very game. The whole thing was retro, but I thought it was just really, really good. Mm-hmm. It's a 50-game anthology from the people who did Spelunky. Dozens of retro-themed homages to your favorite 80s and 90s games with modern gameplay twist and a meta-narrative about a fictional game company who created them. Moss Mouth pitches it like the experience of going over to a friend's house and rubbing through their cartridge collection. A 32-color palette and audio restrictions make it feel authentic to the time, while current design sensibilities and multiplayer options are sprinkled throughout. Comes out September 18th on PC. I bet it'll run great on the deck. I can't wait for that one. UFO 50 looked really, really good. What is this one? Cozy Grove Camp Spirit. It's just DLC for Camp Spirit, but it's exclusive to mobile, and I really, really hated that. Because I have it on the Switch, and I thought, ooh, good. Nope. Gotta play it on your phone. Koira, I think is the name of this one. A narrative-driven adventure game that takes place in a musical forest and winter wonderland. I really, really liked it. It is coming out, a demo is coming out this year, and it's for PC only. Added that to my wish list. Here's another one. Arranger, a role-puzzling adventure. It's going to be difficult for me to describe how this game works. You would really need to go look at it on a video. But I'll just read the article here. Do you remember those sliding puzzle games where you shifted tiles around with your fingers in order to get all the squares lined up into the right pattern?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Arranger is that, but turned into an adventure game presented with the oil painting look of braid artist David Hellman. You play as a small town misfit on a journey of self-discovery and to disrupt a culture of stagnation by navigating a world dissected into sliding puzzles.
Hmm.
It comes out July 25th on PS5, Switch, and PC. It's also going to be on mobile devices, courtesy of Netflix. Looks great. Added it to my wish list. Fear the Spotlight. That's our Blumhouse game. It's a lo-fi looking horror game about exploring a high school with a candle and discovering hidden messages in its horror-filled corners. Stealth survival horror type of game in the vein of PS1. So, yeah. PS5, PS4, Xbox One, Series X, Switch, and PC coming out this year. Ooh, Screenbound was cool. I really, really liked what I saw of Screenbound. Mm. It's going to be another one that's going to be hard to describe. The view of Screenbound is, in front of you is like a Game Boy, a handheld gaming device in front of you on screen.
Right.
But everything that is going on in the 2D screen is the same thing that is going on in the 3D world that you can see in your peripheral.
And how much of this, how much is this peripheral taken up on the game screen?
I would love to flip this around and show you.
Okay, just
look up Screenbound.
It seems to be like just a perception thing. It's going to be okay. It's not taking up too much of the screen, but yeah, I'll see what you're looking at now.
Yeah.
The thing is right in front of you, but you still see most of the world around you. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's a first-person platformer where you navigate the world in 3D by looking through a Game Boy screen at the same time. So yeah, that's going to have some fun puzzle aspects to it, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
No yet release date do we have on that one. Yet. What's this one? Zookosis.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about that game can go away. Some of the animals, the way they transform in this sort of coming out this year on PC.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
The Thing.
Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah.
Very much.
If you ever saw The Thing, you get an idea of what these animals could turn into.
It is absolutely Thing-ish. But I love The Thing. And apparently we're getting a remake for The Thing, I thought, for Xbox. Tom the Post Girl. It's a really, really weird one, but I love the artwork for it. You'll discover weird and twisted lives of locals as you hand them their mail and gawk at their creepy lives. Witness disturbing scenes in the shoes of Little Red Riding Hood by way of Edward Gorey. There is where my style comes from. Hand-drawn style, postcard aesthetic. Release date is next year. But yeah, that's who I was getting at. Edward Gorey is who that looked like. Psychroma. This looked very interesting. Very horror cyberpunk with Maniac Mansion vibes. It's a narrative-driven side-scroller that explores, and I'm quoting this because they quote it, what it means to be who you are and the terror of having that stripped from you. Mixes futuristic tech with the paranormal as you play a digital medium trying to exorcise ghosts by piecing together forgotten memories. Building relationships looked really dumb, and I won't even go into that. It looked really dumb. A Little to the Left, Seeing Stars, that was really cool. It's just an expansion for A Little to the Left. Hello Again was an interesting game. You play a postal worker who explores an island solving puzzles and conversing with locals. The developers describe it as a mix of Animal Crossing and The Outer Wilds with a sprinkling of Groundhog Day. Fill out a journal, unearth the past, and chill on a trippy, twisted vacation. You only have, apparently, 12 hours of the day before it all starts over again. But you carry with you the knowledge of what you just went through for those 12 hours to advance or change things or do whatever. Yeah,
learn to be efficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Now you know what's coming. You've been through this before. So, yeah.
There's another game called While Waiting. It's an indie adventure game. Getting here close to the end, and I'm sorry. After Love EP was also announced. Phoenix Springs, that looked really cool. I'm throwing that out there now. Just September 16th, 2024, Phoenix Springs was one that I remembered. Art style is amazing. It's something that I put on my wish list as well. Tides of Tomorrow. Parts of Tides of Tomorrow remind me of Deathloop, while others feel like Waterworld by way of Jet Set Radio. Not sure when it's going to get a release on that one. And that is all for that. And that is all for us. We are now out of time. I've got to go watch a lot of game videos and add a lot to my wish list as well. RJ, thank you again for being here.
No problem.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. I really appreciate it. I do not have enough time to go over everybody that was here, but there's a lot of you, and we really, really appreciate it. Coming up, I don't know. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week to do this all over again. Music here from Flimbo's Quest.
Flimbo.
It's called, it's the title screen music.
That's a memorable name.
Ain't it?